Now, typically, I try not to come out too heavy or too serious, but sometimes, you know, there are just things that are hard and painful, and there's national tragedy and suffering, and maybe you haven't checked the news yet, but if you don't know, TikTok is down today. And I know. You're like, what? Like, you wanted to kind of gasp out loud. You didn't know yet. You're like, oh, it's down. What are we going to do? It's down. Don't worry. Trump might protect that tomorrow. But for today, it's down. So if you're feeling like I need a safe space, a mental health day for this, don't worry. This is the right day for you, all right? Because today we are finishing our series on resetting, and it's all about our mental health. So if you are worried about things, man, this is the day for you. And I've been looking forward to this one. This is one of those ones that I've been eager to do, tried to do a lot of homework on, and I'm hoping that it is helpful today for a whole slew of reasons. And so with that, I have an app. And with the app, there are notes you can follow along with today. All the verses are in there as well. And so you can just kind of have that as a resource for you, and it gives you something that you can kind of track through as we go through today, because we're looking at all sorts of stuff. And I think it's going to be helpful at kind of a base level for ways that we can reset kind of that internal makeup that is us. And so right now, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us today, and we're going to get right to business. And so, Jesus, I thank you that your word is life. And your word gives us life. And sometimes in life, especially our inner life, it can be hard. Like, that's the thing I know right from the start of the day, that there are many things that many people in this room or online are going through, and it weighs them down. Their internal world is either rocked, or it's just teetering, or it's so expended. They don't know what to do at times. And I pray that you will give us some wisdom, you'll give us some direction, you will give us reminder, and even in that, that we'll have that sense of courage to maybe do the hard work and begin to dig out of some of those holes, or to seek resources that can better our inner world. And so, Jesus, I'm just looking to you to do that, to fill in the gaps that I am incapable or incomplete as far as my abilities to do that. I pray you do that for us today. And so we look to you, and we need you, and we ask for your guidance and direction in your good and perfect name. Amen. All right. So far, we've looked at resetting some critical things. We've looked at resetting our spiritual life. We've looked at resetting our physical life. That was last week. But I want to admit that right out of the gate today, I concede that our emotional, our mental, our kind of reactional, experientially conditioned, kind of subconsciously rooted, some of our chemical parts, us, that is a tough subject to talk about. I mean, sincerely, it is. Like I've been eager for this one. I've been studying up on this one. I've been processing this one. But it is pretty tough to speak on. Now, as it is in general, we're complex people, right? Like when we talked about last week on our physical health, man, our bodies are complex, right? We've got all these different systems that are in play. We got our skeletal system and muscle system and endocrine system, all these things. And that makes kind of just caring about our physical health a challenge at times. And our spiritual world, that's a very diverse thing, right? Where we have like prayer and scripture and Eucharist and community, and those all come together under dogma and doctrine and behaviors and practices. And that could be complicated to talk about and navigate as human beings. But I honestly think it's this topic today. It's the most mysterious. It's the most wide-ranging. Our inner us. Because here's what we know. We are riddled with all sorts of stuff happening internal to us all the time, right? We've got reactions and feelings and vices and triggers and activators and phobias and syndromes and clarities and confusions. And many of these things, they just flip on and off, not because we're like hitting the switch, but things just happen. Concussions in our life come our way and things just kind of erupt. I mean, even like in the weirdest way, like I was thinking about, I did this recently with my granddaughter. Like, I jumped out and I scared her, right? And like just the process that goes on in a millisecond, like her amygdala like registers something. Her conscious brain doesn't even get it, but the amygdala gets it, right? And then there's all these triggers. Eventually, it's like the adrenal glands fire up, her eyes dilate, her heart rate increases, her respiratory speeds up, and she screams and she jumps and she hits APA, right? Like, she's like, no, don't do that, right? But it didn't take any conscious thing. I mean, I think that's so wild that there's so many things that we do that are just reactive to us. We don't have a lot of jurisdiction over that first eruption of a thing that occurs. And we can joke about jumping out and scaring somebody or whatever else, but there are some things that are even more deeply, like, hard about this. So, for example, I have some data up here today. I think we have a couple of pictures here in the graphic. These are some of the key findings of 2024 based on 2023 data. This goes back to 2021. But if you think about our mental health and our mental world, there are many things where we feel that we are just overwhelmed by. They're beyond the grip of our control. We're sinking down into, right? Like, we all know there's been a suicide crisis in our culture, right? And right here, we see 5% of adults have reported experiencing serious thoughts of suicide. And this is just in the last year, 13% of youth. I don't know about you. I know there's been twice in my life where I've seriously been underwater in that way, right? Where even though everything else in life was good, I had a wife, I had kids, I had a life, everything, there was just things in me that I didn't even fully understand that were so heavy. There was these moments of like, I don't think I want to go on. I'm flirting with this idea. It's shocking when you enter that space. I never would have thought in all my life I would have ever been in that space. But I found myself in that space, right? You think about people that have had depressive episodes. Maybe you're that person where you don't even understand it. There's probably certain things that's going on, and it certainly weighs you down, but you just wake up, and the world is on your shoulders, and you just want to stay in bed. You just want to hide from everything. Like, the powerful thing. This other document over here, just the majority of Americans who struggle with mental health, anxiety, depression, stress, loneliness, mood swings, phases of sadness, panic attack, whatever it is. It's just strange, like when those things come into your world or you're facing those things, that it's not as simple as, hey, just stop. Just be happier. Let it go. It's easy. Don't sweat it. Choose different. Like, I think there's things in there that can be helpful, but at the same time, it just sometimes feels like it's really beyond our ability to just simply do this and do that. Turn it off, turn it on, be done. And so I say all of that to say that when I go into today, I don't go in lightly. I really don't. And this is for two reasons. First of all, I don't do this lightly because, being really honest and really clear, this is beyond my scope of practice, right? So I am schooled as a theologian. I am schooled as a kind of a physical trainer. I have education in both. When it comes to therapy, it's beyond my scope of practice. Now, I'll be honest with you, that's the next degree I want to seek. And if you want to pay for that, let me know afterwards, and I'm all about that. But I would love to do that. I think it would be phenomenal. I think that's even where my heart kind of lands at times, where I'm like, I would love to have better tools to be able to do this. But I acknowledge today that I'm a trainer and a theologian, but I'm not necessarily a therapist. And so I take that seriously. The other thing I acknowledge is, I acknowledge that for many of us, the need is pretty great. And so all the more, I lament the fact that it's beyond my scope of practice. Matter of fact, even just this year, going into 2025, the American Psychiatric Association registered that this was the highest percentage ever of Americans who said their New Year's resolution was related to mental health. Like, this is the year I'm going to go to a counselor or a therapist or seek help or deal with this or that. So this was the highest year ever. And so from that, I come humbly, but I'm hoping also I'm coming helpfully. That's kind of the spirit of this, right? So just kind of want to let you know about some of those things. So let's get into it. I want to get into the place kind of starting from the positive, like the health side. There's parts of this that are like, hey, do these things, and there's other parts like, don't do those things, and we're going to look at all of that. We're going to start with the first thing in your notes, which is the idea of onboarding. Things that we want to do for our mental health, and that's onboarding blessings that enrich your inner you. They're going to enrich your inner you. So you're making conscious decisions that say, I'm going to attend to my psyche. I'm going to deal with my psychological health. And I'm going to bring these things in because I know that they can enhance, they can influence, they can bring health into my inner person. The first is this. Onboard intellectual pursuits that stimulate. Onboard intellectual pursuits that stimulate. Here's a really cool thing. When you look at the early pages of the scriptures, the book of Genesis, we find that we are made in the image of God. And part of what that is that God is a creator that makes creators that he wants to go create in his image. So in that sense, you go, man, that is so cool that as he creates, so too he wants me to create. The other thing, though, is as creators, part of what makes you creative is curiosity. And God has built you and built me to be curious and to invest into the things that we are curious about. There's this great passage in Proverbs 25. It's written about kings, right? They have a certain kind of privilege in life, but I think it's going to apply to all of us. And so it says in Proverbs 25:2, it's God's privilege to conceal things, but the king's privilege to discover them. Now, here's what I dig about this. It's like what God is saying is, when I put the world together, I threw in a bunch of Easter eggs. I peppered all of creation with all of these things hidden in there that you get to discover. Now, back in the ancient world, the only people that had the time or the money or the resources to do that were the kings. Everybody else was just trying to make a living and stay alive and feed their families and run the farm or whatever it was. But the king had this privilege and power to go invest and unearth these things. And I would say in the same way with us, we do have some flexibility nowadays. Like I was up in the mountains for a couple of days with some friends at a cabin, and we were talking about all these different things. And every time something would come up, we were like, hey, let's look that up. What's the fact on that? We could just go on Google and find out stuff. It's kind of rad, right? Like there's gonna be a whole generation that's like, Dewey Decimal System, go to the library, discover things. Like, no, just go on, it's right there. And so we have that privilege to discover things, to mine the depths of all the stuff that God has sort of embedded into the world as these little Easter eggs to discover. And I believe that when you do that, when I do that, in the areas that we have these proclivities of interest, when we lean into that, that actually nourishes our inner us, right? Because you're leaning into the way you're built. You're onboarding things that you're interested in. And so figure out those things that enrich your mind. Maybe for some of you, hey, it's the arts. Maybe others, it's books. Maybe some of you just love story. Like, story just fills up your soul. Some of you, you're documentary nerds. You binge the documentaries because you love to just learn about people's lives and times and places and histories or whatever else. Others, it's the how-tos. I love those how-to videos, man. I can go deep dive into how-to videos on YouTube. Maybe it's the scriptures. I don't know what your thing is. Like, I know for me, like, Ellen and I are getting ready to go on a vacation. And so every time we go on a vacation, I order a book just so it enriches my soul. And so this one's on quantum mechanics. So that's the way I roll. Like, literally. Like, if you said, hey, what fills you up? That's what fills me up. Or scholarship really fills me up. I dig it. Or for me, even science fiction. Science fiction is that weird thing that kind of digs into human nature, gives us a plotting of the future, what to do, not do, everything. And so for me, that stuff just enriches me. So find the thing that's your thing. Maybe for some of you, you're like, man, I love figuring out how to have the ultimate garden. Man, make that in your, because that fills up your soul. I have a friend of mine that spent the whole year, she put it on social media. She was basically trying to perfect the perfect cakes. It was so cool. Right, just figuring out the ingredients and the right bake time and the right this and the right that. And you know what? That's very enriching. It's like, it's almost like therapeutic, just figuring out how to make the perfect cake. Super rad. Maybe for others, it's to build the perfect piece of furniture. And you're just trying to figure that out, or paint the perfect vista, or program the most epic app ever. Build the perfect kingdom in Minecraft. I don't know your thing, right? But all those things have value. Because that's how God puts you together. Those are the things he causes you to care about, to get excited about, interested in. So man, invest into those intellectual things that fill you up. I don't know your thing. But you know your thing, and so you do your thing. Make space to lean into how he built you to care. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. Onboard emotional investments that encourage you. Onboard emotional encouragements. This is a little different. So in the book of Philippians, you may not be familiar with this. Maybe you're new with us and you don't understand kind of how the Bible works or the scriptures or everything else, but there's all these pieces of literature that make up this library.
And one of those pieces of literature is called the Letter of the Philippians, or to the Philippians from Paul. And in this community, people are struggling. They're anxious. They're struggling with some depression. They're even struggling with division with one another. And so he writes this word of encouragement. He says, one final thought. Fix your thoughts on whatever is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the God of peace will be with you. So I love this because he kind of doubles down on some things, right? He's like, be intentional, be driven, be focused. That's what fix your thoughts means, right? Like anchor into those places, right? You want to get firm in those spaces. You want to constantly be processing these positive things. Now, here's why I think this is super valuable to us, right? We live in a world. We do. Like, I get up this morning. I have a new news app called The Grind. It's super rad, where it's just an aggregate of all news sources that there is, and it tells you, does it lean to the left, to the right, accuracy levels, everything. It's really cool. But you go on there, and here's the thing you find. The world is a depressing place. Like, you do. Like, TikTok, oh no. Like, that's the worst of our problems. Like, part of our country's burning down, and there's all these other things that are going on, and suicide rates and depression. But you go, and it's easy to just get overwhelmed by all those negatives, especially if you're a news junkie. Especially if you're a news junkie that goes to news sites that's constantly about being alarmed, being afraid, being worried, right? It's just, man, that's the heaviness. Then add to it the fact that, frankly, and this is me too, so I'm not judging, but you think about a lot of the things we're entertained by. They're dark. They're depressing. They're heavy. They're riddled with division and violence and all these things. So it's very easy to live in our world and then be scratching our head going, why do we all struggle with depression or anxiety or worry or trepidation about the future? You know, because we're inundated with that all the time. And so Paul's doing us a favor here, right? He's like, I get it. God knows it. And so let's kick the door in on that and do it differently. So he's like, make space. Make space to fill your mind with life-giving graces. That's that list, right? Focus on what is honorable and true and right and pure and lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. That just means for us, we need to change a little bit of our intake diet, right? Things that are going to emotionally fill us up. So pick podcasts that build you up, or music, or books, or hobbies, whatever it is. Just focusing on different things. Praise music, worship music in some capacity. Have meditation be a part of your life. Prayerfulness is a part of your life. Find that app or that website that every day when you go to it, it's like, here's the happy thought of the day, you know? And like, I need the happy thought because I was just on CNN or Fox News and they let me know life is falling apart. I need a happy thought, right? How about this one? Find the people that refresh you and hang with those people, right? The ones that fill up your bucket. I would say plan positivity inputs. That's just what you have to do because everything else is going to be coming at you negative or dark or heavy. And so you have to intentionally design positive things. But when Paul says this, notice at the end he says, then the God of peace will be with you. So many people want peace. We pay billions every year to specialists because we're all seeking peace. And he's trying to at least do us a solid here and say like, hey, here are some things when you do this though that God steps in and God brings you peace. So you want to onboard these things. Onboard intellectual pursuits, onboard emotional investments. But then there's a third one here. Onboard recreational activities that refresh. Recreational activities that refresh. I am an etymology nerd. I am constantly going, what's the etymology of that word and that word and that word? Did you know that recreational literally means again and create? That's what recreational means. Again, create. So in other words, you're living life, you get worn, you get depleted, you're busy, everything's just kind of just getting ground down, and you're supposed to then go recreate, refresh, renew, reinvigorate your person. So this is a part of it too. Like if you're feeling the wear, that's where you have to stop and you have to go do something that kind of rebreathes in the life to your person, right? This is more than just hobbies or trips. It's those things where you go, hey, this refreshes my batteries. This fills up my tank. This decelerates my stress. Because here's the thing that you and I have to just own. Ready? Shocking truth of the day. Life is stressful. Here's the other shocking truth, and that's here to stay, right? Like this idea, if I just get past this, then we'll be fine. There'll be something else, I promise. I promise, at 54, I can tell you there's always something else. Always something else. So in light of that, you have to then say, you know what? There's always gonna be something. So I'm gonna do the thing that makes me laugh, that lets me love, that allows me to decompress so I can get a boost for life. In fact, here is a great one from one of my favorite pieces of work in the scriptures. Like one of my all-time favorites. Like you might have your favorites. I have my handful of favorites. And this is Ecclesiastes. And I love Ecclesiastes because here this dude rolls in and he's like, hey, life, it's unfair. But don't worry, it's also unfun. Like he's like that guy, you know. He's like, don't sweat it, you know. And he's like this emo goth prophet. That's the way I see him. And he rolls in, and this is what he says in Ecclesiastes 9. He says, the same destiny ultimately rates everyone, whether righteous or wicked, good or bad, ceremonially clean or unclean, religious or irreligious. Good people receive the same treatment as sinners, and the people who make promises to God are treated just like people who don't. There is nothing ahead but death anyway. You feeling filled up? Right? And I honestly feel like he writes that and then he puts on more black eyeliner and he throws on a playlist from The Cure and he's just like, all right, let's go darker now, you know? So he goes darker. He says, the living at least know they will die. That is the best. He says, but the dead know nothing. They have no future reward. They are not remembered. Whatever they did in their lifetime, loving, hating, envying, it is all gone. They no longer play a part in anything here on earth. Now, you might get to this point and be like, bro, should I just be a depressed nihilist? Is that what the Bible is telling me to be? Right? Like, Downer Doug here is now just wrecking everything, and I should not care and blow it off and just be negative and everything else. Well, no. He suddenly goes in this unexpected direction. He's like, based on all of that, like, blah, he says, so go ahead, bro. Go ahead. Eat food with joy. What? Look at this guy suddenly gets positive. And drink your wine with a happy heart, for God approves of this. Wear fine clothing with a splash of cologne. Live happily with the woman that you love. Such positive things. Out of nowhere, he's dark, depressed, dank, and he's like, hey, so find some joy, drink some stuff, everything else. Now he goes on to say, through all the meaningless days of your life that God has given you on earth, so he's still got this edge, right? He still kind of reminds you, like, hey, life is hard, right? But I love this dude. I love this dude because, like, what he's kind of getting at is, like, you know what? Yes, it's going to be rough. So you want to make the space. Make the space for the stuff that can still nourish your soul, that can fill up your life. Because there will be hardship. But you got to find the respites and camp in those respites to refresh you. Find that recreational, that real life-giving thing. So go walking or jogging or talking or eating or drinking or laughing or playing or whatever your thing is. Whatever, just find those spaces. Because sometimes what can happen is we get these visions of what we most expected life to be. And since it didn't get to that point, now we're just down and depressed and dark. And we're not realizing the little things are in front of us. We're not realizing that we can make spaces for the stuff that can still fill us up. We can lean in to this thing that says, you know what? Hey, I'm going to drink good wine. I'm going to eat good food. I'm going to hang out with my family. I'm going to laugh about some things. Like, it's so wild. Like, our family gets together, and we play this ridiculous game called Boomerang Foo. It is a Switch game on our platform. And you just have a boomerang, and you're either chopping each other or throwing the boomerang and killing each other, but your pieces of fruit or vegetables. It's the weirdest thing, right? We get laughing. We're hollering. We have the best time. Right? The best, it's just finding those spaces in life. In fact, I think what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying is, man, don't get so consumed by the challenges of big things, and there's going to be big things, but don't get so consumed in that that you're not making space for the little things that can fill you up, that can give you life, that can reinvigorate you. And so, pump in the positives. You just have to pump in the positives to fill you up. That's only a part of the process, right? As much as we need a good offense to drive the ball down the field, unlike the Lions last night. Did you watch? Jared Goff passing to the other team like a madman? All right, so. But aside from, I love the Lions, but I was heartbroken. All right, anyway, that's a sidebar. Moving on. You also need a good defense, right? You need to make sure that you're bringing that to the table. So that's the second thing in your notes. Offload curses that drain your inner you. Now, here's the thing about this point. This is a point where everybody's going to say, I know, I know, I know. So do I. And I also know, and I know, and I know, that I got to be reminded of what I know, because sometimes we forget. So here's the things you need to offload, the things that drain your inner you. First of all, offload the burdens that you can't control. Offload the burdens you can't control. Here's what I'm going to say. There's some stuff in life that you can control. And if you can control it, then act on that thing that you have control over. Now, do it wisely, do it thoughtfully, do it with intention, but act on that. Here's the thing I know about my life. There are many things I can't control. And in my foolishness, I still think that if I just worry enough, somehow that's going to change the topography. The universe is listening to my worrying. It's going to go ahead and put everything right. It doesn't work that way. I just worry and worry and worry. I put all this energy in, burn all these calories about it, and it doesn't matter. But boy, it makes everybody around me miserable, including myself. Right? It does. In fact, I went back this week to the Serenity Prayer, right? So if you ever do AA or any of those kinds of groups, they have this prayer, and it's really good. I think it's really useful. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, and the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's a really good prayer. It is. Because there are certainly things where, you know, I just can't control it. And if I worry about it, it's just going to drag me under more, so I have to do it different. Now, from that, it doesn't mean, so, hey, that stuff, just press it down deep inside and die internally. Because, like, some people are like, okay, just deep, deep press, right? No, I don't think it means that. Here's something Peter says that I think is so good in 1 Peter 5. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. So you might have to wait. You're going to have to be patient, right? It's going to be true. But then he says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. I think there's layers to this. As I was thinking about my own life and how I try to implement this, one layer is simply request. God, I have an issue beyond my control, and I want to give that to you. I'll give you another layer of this. In the Hebrew scriptures, it's called lament. And lament is this idea of, God, I'm hurting. God, this isn't fair. Some laments become even anger with God. Job gets angry with God. David gets angry with God. Jeremiah gets angry with God under conditions and circumstances. So they can go from request to lament, which can be frustration, anger, the sense of verbal depression. But all of that also functions as release. And I find in my own life that sometimes just that process of release, of saying it to God and being fuming and frustrated and confused and kind of like, I don't know what to do next, that can also be therapeutic. It's why I think even confession is therapeutic, whether it be to God or to another person, to a therapist, whatever it is. They're just this thing that, like, just, it takes all of that out of the soul. Right? And so he's like, man, cast it all on God because he cares for you. That's one way that you can just offload this stuff. You can offload the burden that you can't control. Here's another thing aside from offloading burdens. Offload the bitterness that holds you down. Offload the bitterness that holds you down. Now, here's the trick about this one. It goes back to what I said earlier. Anger, hurt, betrayal, those aren't on-off switches. Right? Like, when it happens, it just, you're not like, I'm going to choose to be angry right now. Most people just choose that. It's like, no, man, this is just going. It's like a freight train downhill, no brakes, right? That's so easy to identify with. That's the tough thing, right? Those hurts are not on-off switches. But we do have jurisdiction, not over how we're feeling, but we do have jurisdiction over whether we feed or starve those feelings as they kind of materialize in us, right? That's the thing we have to start doing. And I think what is truly hard about this, I was just thinking about this in my own world, what is truly hard and challenging is that really, to really deal with that hurt, bitterness, anger thing, you have to make this very conscious decision that I want to be like Jesus. Like, very much like Jesus. That I'm going to pursue the path of healing as opposed to I'm just going to let the hurt continue to kind of grow and maturate in my own life. Paul does this in Ephesians chapter 5. He shows the push-pull of this whole thing. He starts off with the get rid of. He says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead be, right? So dramatic, left, right, black, white, whatever it is. Instead be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. There's a couple of things about this I think is really important. First of all, get rid of is a command. It's like you have to ditch it. You have to burn that mother. You have to dig a hole, shove it down deep in there, and bury it. You got to get rid of it. And he says, instead, be. He doesn't simply just say act. He says, be, incarnate these things. And I think he gives the juxtaposition between the two because he's like, now you have to go be these things. And to be those things, to choose to be those things, is incredibly hard. It's incredibly hard. I think what I have to remember is that I go, man, I'm to do this just as God through Christ forgave me, did this for me. I need to do this, but I need to think in terms of if it was good enough for me to receive from him, it's good enough for me to do to others. Like, I just know it would be, for me, like I go, oh, so I love that I'm forgiven for all my junk because I know all my junk and it's a lot of junk. And then I go, other people have junk, but I don't forgive their junk. That's the challenge. Where I'm like, I like it for me, but I don't like it for others. And Paul would say, no, man, you got to get rid of that. You got to do that. So here's the thing. You go, but boy, I'm hurt. I'm angry. I'm mad. I go, I get it. Here's my best advice. This is my most pastoral advice I can give you. I want you to think about that person or whatever else, and 100% I want you to own, they are your enemy. They're your enemy. Treat them like an enemy. Now, what does Jesus say about how to treat an enemy? Right? Luke chapter 6. But to who are willing to listen, I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Duh! Drat and double drat, right? Like, but that's the thing, right? And I look at that, and I here's the thing I've learned over life. The more you do the stuff in yellow there, the more the red subsides as far as how you see them. Like, you go, yeah. They hate me, they're my enemy, they don't care for me, they're against me, they've hurt me. But the more you're doing good to them and you're praying for them and you're like, I'm just going to love them anyway, it sets up a thing in us that actually heals our inner us. It does, it heals our inner us. Because here's the thing I've known about my own life, and I'm sure you've all known as well, because this goes back to we all know what we know. We don't always just live what we know, but here's what we know. When we're hurt or bitter or angry, it usually burns us up more than the person that hurt us. Like, I think Jesus gives this, in part because it makes a better world. It makes flourishing for the world. If everybody did this, the world would be a better place. And so we don't do this, that's the problem. But the other part, I think he's giving us like a favor, like a nod. He's like, man, I want your life to be fully alive. I came to give you abundant life. A route toward abundant life is not holding on to stuff that brings internal death. So this is why you want to go out of your way to do the opposite of what you feel. You love, you do good, you bless, and you pray. So if you need a modern example, you got to go full on Elsa. Just let it go, let it go. Like, you got to let it go. But you got to let it go by actually proactively loving, doing good, blessing, and praying for. And so offload burdens, offload bitterness, And then third, offload broken relationships that harm you. And this has a relationship to it. So you're just like, hey, so I'm not supposed to be bitter. No, you shouldn't be bitter. You want to work out of bitterness. But at the same time, what you do want to do is realize that I might have some relationships that are broken or unhealthy, whatever else, and I need healthy boundaries. That's the functional word. I need healthy boundaries for those relationships. Proverbs chapter 4, he says, guard your hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Like, guard your internal you. Because here's the thing. We've all probably had those relationships that have been toxic for our insides. They've kind of maybe brought out the worst in us. We camp on the more negative things in some capacity, more tense, or we become more tense in the sphere of those relationships. And that's where a boundary is helpful. So here's some things about healthy boundaries. Like, if you want to do it for a healthy reason in a healthy way, right? Or having more motives for this, here's some things. When you have a healthy boundary, it protects your emotional well-being. It does. Because if you find it tough to regulate that in you in this relationship, maybe you need a boundary to protect that. It can also overall promote healthier relationships. Like, I know of some people where every time they got together, it was just argumentative, just all the time argumentative. And they finally realized, like, we just can't keep doing our friendship the way we do it, because every time we're just drawn into the conflict. And so they said, hey, this is just better to promote healthy relationship. And you, it's also going to prevent burnout, because it's easy to get burnout when you're in those things. In these things, it also encourages personal responsibility. Like, if you make a boundary with somebody, you go, you know what, I'm doing this not because I'm mad at you. I'm not trying to punish you. I don't hate you. I just go, I think you don't realize that some of the things you do are wounding to the people around you. And I can allow a person to go, like, right, I don't want to do that. I want to do it differently. It also enhances self-respect and it reduces resentment. Like, all of those things are healthy ways to do it. I would say, in light of boundaries, though, here's some things you don't want to do. Because some people, it's not a boundary that they're setting, they're doing something else. Right? So here's the thing you don't want to do. You don't want to set a boundary out of insecurity. Like, they intimidate me, and so I'm setting a boundary. Like, you have to have a little bit more clarity on that. I would say never set a boundary out of revenge or anger or resentment. That's just punishment. I'm punishing you. That's not a boundary. That's a punishment. Don't do it for that reason. Don't set a boundary to seek control over the person. You do it for your own health, but you're not trying to make them be different, and you're just trying to leverage that. Don't do it out of avoidance, and don't do it because you're fearing intimacy or honesty. The goal is emphasizing health. It's not protracting hurt or harm. So you just kind of know when you're setting a boundary in life, it's for the best reasons, not like the worst reasons. And that takes wisdom and nuance and thoughtfulness in yourself, but just trying to think about those things, right? And so we've got stuff to onboard. We've got stuff to offload. From this, I'm going to give you three final bits, right? Three final bits of pastoral advice for mental health. And these are ones I've learned through the School of Hard Knocks because I'm awesome at being dumb, all right? So here's the third one. Avoid transgressions that wound your inner you. Avoid transgressions that wound your inner you. The word transgress just means over and climb, or to step and kind of violate a line. So what you want to do with this, it kind of, you want to think about your own world, and you go, man, there are values that I hold, convictions that I have, things that I think are right or wrong, and I want to make sure I don't do a self-harming thing, which is cross my own lines or cross the lines that I believe God has set for me. Like, don't do those things, because it only makes your inner world harder. It goes back to our passage out of Proverbs chapter 4. He says, take my words to heart, follow my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom and develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think that way. Turn away and keep moving. And really, the idea here is keep moving in the right direction. Here's what we all know. Some of the greatest anguish, some of the deepest burdens, some of the most overwhelming grief come when we have a standard and we cross that line knowing it was our standard. Like, that's the worst. That's one that, man, it hurts the people you love, it hurts you, and it hurts God. Like, I've sat down as a pastor over the years with people who are like, you know, I never thought I would have crossed the line into having an affair. I never thought I would have crossed the line into lying and stealing from work. I never thought I would have crossed the line into now having an addiction with alcohol or with cannabis or with other drugs or pornography or spending or whatever. Like, I never thought that would occur. And then when it does, man, the level of internal emotional anguish and grief, it's crushing, right? One of the most painful things we will ever face as human beings is regret. And if it's a self-inflicted regret, like, I chose a thing. Man, my encouragement just for all of us is to go, just don't bring that as another hardship in life with all the other hardships. That's the point here, right? Matter of fact, I've used an analogy before. Whenever we feel the temptation at that line, wherever we kind of know, like, I'm flirting with something, my advice is fast forward. Hit fast forward and go, if I do this, fast forward, what happens if my kids find out, my spouse finds out, my boss finds out, my church finds out, my friends find out, whatever, what happens? What happens if this is exposed? Fast forward. What's the worst case scenario? Fast forward to the worst case scenario. Because I'll tell you what, the hardest thing is when we don't, and then something happens, you know what button we want to hit? Rewind. We want to hit rewind. And you can't. And so again, I just say this as the cautionary tale of when you know, and you're kind of tampering, do yourself a favor. Don't make your inner world harder. No, let's say you have. Let's say, you know, I'm banging rewind. You know, as though VCRs are still a thing and they're still rewind. But, like, I'm banging on the rewind. I can't rewind. You know what? You can't. You can't. And you might be in the depths of regret or addiction or whatever the thing is. Here's some little bits of advice. First of all, just be honest. Just be honest. Maybe it's with God or yourself or with people that you need to be honest with. Like, don't try to keep kicking the lie down the road if that's where you're at right now. I'm going to just keep hoping nobody catches what I've done. You know, just be honest. Just stop the madness for your own sake. Next, ask forgiveness of God, of others, maybe even of yourself. Because I know there can be people like, I can't forgive myself. I've let myself down. No, forgive. Next, turn away. If you're doing something you know is damaging, maybe it isn't out yet, but you know it's hurtful. If anybody found out, I would just regret, hit rewind so bad, right? Man, turn away. And this also, get help. Practically or professionally, if you need professional help, awesome. Practically, awesome, whatever it is. But then also, keep moving forward. Like, don't feel like it's all said and done, it's too late, it's all gone, shot. No, you can still heal, you can still find health, you can still move forward, seek to move forward, right? That's the first thing. Next in this whole thing is number four, and it's related. Pursue tools that better your inner you. Pursue tools that better your inner you. This is about help. So one area of help is going to be like spiritual help. Seek spiritual help. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul talks about this idea that, hey, nobody knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God, and we really didn't even understand our own spirit fully, except we kind of do. And then from that, he's like, hey, so you want to make sure that since you have the Spirit of God, the connection to the mind of God, let that work in you to bring spiritual health to you. That's really what he gets at in 1 Corinthians 2. And so with this, I'd say some of the spiritual help is just realizing that because I have the Holy Spirit, because I have a connection to God in a very unique way because of Jesus and everything he's done for me, lean into that. Like, I know in my own life, I do better emotionally and mentally if I'm doing well spiritually. If I'm not doing well spiritually, there's something weird and I get unhealthy emotionally. Or if even link these, if I'm not doing well physically and I'm not doing well spiritually, I really am a mess emotionally. And so, again, realizing that, man, sometimes what we just really need is graft in more of that spiritual focus so we can have some help. So that's the first thing, man. Hey, pursue spiritual help. That's a good tool. Second, here's another tool. Pursue self-help. Self-help. You know what the good book says? God helps those who help themselves. Which is actually not in the Bible. That's a lie. I call that Second Opinions, chapter 1, verse 1. It's a nice little anecdote. It's fine. Not in the Bible. All right? Reckon it. First and Second Thessalonians. I got some others, too. All right. But here is actually a verse that's really good. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. So I like this because it says, hey man, don't rely on your own understanding, but realize that God has given resources that can help your understanding. And that isn't always just like, all he's given is the scriptures and the Holy Spirit. No, God's given a lot of resources where I don't have to lean into what I know. I can start looking at what other people know and I can seek those things out. So again, I go back to resources like books and podcasts and lectures and classes and techniques, different resources that you can utilize. Cognitive behavioral therapy, if you ever look at that, it's just learning how to slow down and consciously think before you react, or when you're reacting to slow it down and think in a different way. Maybe it's meditation or yoga or exercise, whatever. It's just saying, hey, I need to find some things that help sort out and soothe my inner me. So find those self-help things. But sometimes you need pro help, right? Pro help is going to be something like a life coach. Maybe it's going to be a community of some kind, a counselor, a therapy, or therapeutics. People with experiences or the expertise to help you navigate a very complicated and tumultuous inner you. I love it. It says in Proverbs 20, verse 5. It says, though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person with understanding will draw it out. That's really helpful. I'll be open with you. We all probably need something. Some of us may just need accountability, that pro help of accountability. Right? Some of the programs I love are things like Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, like Spender Shoppers Anonymous, Sex Addicts Anonymous, because this is people that have gone through it and they've come together and they hold each other accountable to not give into the things that create greater internal mental emotional strife in their lives. Maybe that's something that you need. You're like, man, I cross lines that are unhealthy for everybody around me. I don't want to cross those lines. Maybe that's the help you need. It's just basically some kind of specialized accountability group. Maybe it's a counselor to help unravel trauma or anxiety, depression, insecurity, broken relationship, whatever it is. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's going a little deeper. It's a psychologist or a physician who can augment other therapies with medications or special techniques. Maybe you just need a pastor or a spiritual advisor. You're like, man, everything else is fine, but spiritually I'm not good and I know I could be better, and that would help me in my emotional makeup. Maybe you just need a coach. Life coach, health coach, whatever it is. Here's my thing. I'd say, whatever it is, don't wait. Don't wait. Because here's the thing, and I've learned it in my own life. If you don't opt to get on the road to relief, relief will be forced upon you. It will. You'll get broken. You'll get burdened. You'll get burned out, whatever it is. And now you're forced to pick up the pieces. And I'd say, man, get on that road before you're forced onto that road. And so onboard, offload, avoid transgression, pursue tools, and then finally, this is fast, embrace a Goldilocks equilibrium for life. A Goldilocks equilibrium. I'm going to leave you with one of the most, like, is that really in the Bible passages you'll probably come across this year? You'll be like, huh, the good book is a crazy book. But again, it's from our crazy goth emo prophet in Ecclesiastes. He says, I've seen everything in this meaningless life. Boy, life is rough for him. I've seen everything in this meaningless life, including the death of good young people and the long life of wicked people. He says, from this, here's my conclusion. Don't be too good or too wise. Why destroy yourself? On the other hand, don't be too wicked either. Don't be a fool. Why die before your time? Pay attention to those instructions, for anyone who fears God will avoid both extremes. Now, I know that seems a little weird, but that's his way of getting at, hey, man, live in the Goldilocks zone. Don't be too much this or don't be too much that. So here's how I close. When it comes to peace in your soul, don't expect too much of others. Just don't expect too much of others. And also don't expect too much of yourself. Also, don't expect too little of others. And don't expect too little of yourself. I'd say don't be open-handed, but don't be close-fisted. Right? Yes. Life is hard, but life is also good. And no, life isn't always pleasure, but also no, life isn't always pain. So don't demand it be too easy, and don't lament that it's too hard, right? Just accept that wherever God has you, he's also given you resources. And as you lean into him and you seek those things and you try to do your best in this very challenging life, the more things are going to be just right. Let's go ahead and pray together. Jesus, I thank you I thank you for reminder. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that, you know what, everything teaches. And I thank you that you've given us resources, whether they're spiritual or they're self-help or they're professional, whether it's scripture or whether it's counselors or whether it's groups or people. What, you've given us resources. And it's not always going to be perfect, and it's not always going to be carefree, and sometimes we carry a lot of inner load. But even there, you said, hey, that's why I give you a community of faith to help bear your burdens and fulfill this law of Christ. So help us to do those things. Help us to let go of the things that are weighing us down. Help us to pursue the things that can fill us up, and help us always to lean into you in that process. And so, Jesus, we thank you, and we love you, and we praise you, and we need you. In your good name, amen.